All right, call meeting in order for the special meeting. Marlington Local School District Board of Education, January 17th, 2019. Roll call, please.
Carolyn Gabriel.
Here.
Colin Sippel.
Here.
Dan Humphries.
Here.
Scott Mason.
Here.
Mark Ryan.
Here. Okay, jump right in it.
Ready? Yeah. The first item on our agenda is talk about our parent meeting we had on Monday with our elementary parents. We have some information for you. If you go to the superintendent folder, and I have like a 1, 2, and 3 there, if you just want to click on number 1, we'll kind of chat a little bit. First of all, I just want to say I thought it was a great idea to have that meeting. I thought we did a nice job of keeping things organized, keeping people on task, getting a lot of good comments and suggestions and recommendations. I'm interested in your feedback, because I know we're all kind of sitting in different rooms, which is kind of nice, too, so we can respond a little bit later on that. Just some personal comments. People say, hey, I appreciate the opportunity to come, voice some opinions. They like the smaller environment. I know my room with Ms. Gabrick and I was a little bigger than I was kind of hoping. I think we had about 60 in there, but I still thought it worked out well. But I know some of the smaller ones even said, hey, it was a little bit nicer to have 15 or so people in there to be able to talk. So I thought that part was good. So in each one of the rooms, remember, we had a teacher. You guys okay? Did you find it?
You can't get it.
It's not loading.
Uh-oh.
It's a question. It's sitting there spinning. The death wheel.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I'll watch it. Okay. Yeah.
But we had a teacher or staff member taking notes in there for us. So Mrs. Sutton was kind of heading up that piece of it. Okay, all the information came to her. She has a synopsis. I also told you that we were going to send home a survey to our elementary parents. So what I have to share with you first is that survey that was done online, okay? It wasn't very big. It was brief. There was only 4 questions, but we just wanted to kind of collect some quick information on what that was to look like. So the document that you're looking at there has number 1 are the questions and then just like some bar graphs on what the responses were, okay? So I'll just kind of chat about those real quick, and if you guys have any comments or questions on that as we go, jump in. But the first one's, what's your biggest concern about the changes to our elementary buildings? And we gave 5 different areas to pick from, and as you can see, the one that's in, I guess that's a yellowish color, is students from the same family in multiple buildings. So like if I had a first grader and I have a 5th grader, okay? And as you can see, about 40% of our people said, hey, that's my biggest concern. And just for the record, 276 people responded, which, to be honest with you, is excellent. Okay.
What's the total number of parents we have that were given the survey?
It was sent home with every parent or with every kid to give to their parent.
So that number
I have no idea how many parents we
have.
We
don't know how many kids we have. How many?
I don't know how many kids we have.
Yeah, but you're going to have multiple
kids.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
All right, how many students?
This was just K through 4, right?
This was K through 4.
Right.
Yes, all the parents that would be affected.
Okay, and what's the number of
I'll have students? To research that and get back to you. I don't know the number off the top of my head.
Okay.
I know how many kids. I can get you how many kids there are, but I don't know how many. You know, like the Ryans might have 2 or 3 kids in that grade level band.
It's right around 800, right? Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Well, we have 873 elementary kids, K-5.
Okay, so it's less than that.
Yeah, I don't. Is that your question you're asking?
Yeah.
Like how many?
Well, I was
kids
trying to figure out the 276. What percentage?
I will tell you this though. Out of our 5-year strategic plan survey we sent out 5 years ago, we had about 276 people respond to that.
District-wide.
That was district-wide to everybody. So that's why I said that's an excellent response.
Right. I was just trying to figure out the total number that could have responded.
Yeah, I don't know that number.
All right, so 276, this could be the same, a lot of overlap from those who were there.
Yeah, people that came to the meeting could have responded. It was really just for those folks that didn't come, but I'm sure some did. Yeah. So as you can see there, students in the same family, different buildings was number 1 at about 40%. The next 2 were actually tied. Busing and class size were there. And then What I tried to do with the help of the gal that put the survey together for me was just to kind of pick out some of the main bullet points underneath each one of those topics. So as you can see, we just talked about travel time, open enrollment. Parents were concerned, like, will the kids get in? Student distance away from home, lack of transparency from the board, home values dropping, taking away conveniences for families, children in the same family going to different schools, we kind of chatted about that, and uprooting kids and taking them away from their familiar environment. So that was question one. Question two was, what are some of the benefits of the elementary change? And we gave them some things to pick from: class size, grade level buildings, shared resources, and equal opportunities for all the kids in the district. The big ticket item there was shared resources, which is obviously one of the advantages of doing that, a big one. Equal opportunities for kids in every grade level was the other, the next big one. As far as the next thing, you know, where people could put in, what did they think, what were some of their opinions? Most folks said they didn't see the big need in doing the elementary move that you guys have on the table. Folks did see that there could be a lower cost for the district and some cost savings. And some folks mentioned that having grade levels in one building, there would be some continuity there as well on what was taught and class size, that type of thing. Question three was...
Can I ask a question on that?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Only 189 answered this
yes,
question?
Yes, correct.
That's correct? Okay.
Yeah. You didn't have to answer every question to move through okay. the survey, obviously. Number three said, you know, I was just kind of interested in how do you want to get information from us when we, you know, talk? And we gave four scenarios, a mailer, email, newsletter, parent meeting, like we did the other night. The big hitter was email. 44% of our folks said that's the best way to communicate with us, which was good. The other ones are all just kind of about the same there. So not really a lot of room for comments on this one. This was just pretty cut and dry. What's the best way you like to be communicated with?
Can we tell if they're opening the email and if they're...
No, I can't. Yeah. Like when I do my, like, Tuesdays or Mission or whatever, no.
So we don't know if they're
actually
reading.
I can tell how many are delivered and which ones aren't, for example. Like, we have a bad email for a family.
Right.
But I can't tell you if it's open or not. And then the last one was just a open-ended question, and it was, what are your top three questions you have about the elementary change that we have on the table? And this was very consistent through this survey and I think in our meetings as well that you all heard. Number one by far was transportation. What's the time going to be for our kiddos on the bus? How will it look? How you're going to kind of pull that off? The term that we used was logistics. Number two was class size. What will class size be? And the catchphrase was kind of student-teacher ratio a lot through the conversation. And then latchkey. You know, if I've got kids in different buildings, what's latchkey going to look like? is it still going to exist? Will hours be extended if parents needed more time to get to the buildings? And so on. So, like I said, really good number of people responding just for a couple of days and putting it out there, which I thought was awesome and got some good feedback. So that was a quick synopsis of that survey that I did. I got the results at 12:08 today, and this is what I tried to put together for you just at a real high level. The whole entire document, if you're interested, is if you go to number two, you see the same thing as far as the charts go, but remember there was an area for, like, you could write in some things that you wanted to share. All those comments are in there, okay? And what Mrs. Sutton and I did today was to spend some time highlighting all these things and trying to come up with what were the key points all the way through. And that took, you know, 4 or 5 hours of our time here this afternoon before walking across the street to get here to do all that. So that information is there for you. The graphs are the graphs, okay? I just copied them and put them on that one sheet for you just to put everything kind of right front and center. But these are all the comments that were made as well. Okay, so you're more than welcome to, take a look at that at your leisure. It's about 20 pages, all total. So, Any comments, questions on any of that? I thought what we would do, what Mrs. Sutton and I did, if you want to scroll all the way down in that document to question 4, this is the one that really interests me, because this is, you know, the question, what are the top 3 concerns or questions that you have? And a lot of good responses from page 10 to 20, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So what Mrs. Sutton and I did is we went through and just, like I said, just kind of highlighted what were the big hitters. And obviously it was busing, class size, and latchkey. I mean, if you go through that, there's other comments being made, but as far as what are the top 3, those were the top 3 big hitters through that document. So. All right. Any questions on the survey?
Busing, class size, and what?
Busing was 1, class size 2, latchkey. Yeah, 3.
Are you going to provide any answers to this tonight, or that's not what's on the agenda?
Tonight, no, that's not what's on the agenda. Okay. Tonight's just to kind of talk about what we heard at those meetings and whatever direction you guys give me tonight, and I hope I get some direction on where to go and then be ready to respond.
So when should the community expect responses from you on?
As soon as you guys give me the direction on what we're doing next year. Affirmative direction on what we're doing.
So we're not going to answer anything until then?
I'm not sure I can answer questions until I know what direction the board is giving me to move forward. Okay, if we stay with what's on the table, I'm ready. If you guys have some other conversations from what you heard on Monday, then I just need to know that tonight as well.
Well,
but to me, there's some urgency here. I mean, really, we have to make a decision. We need to do some things to respond to questions, get kids in the right place, get teachers in the right place. Now, I know we've been talking about this for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys know that, but you know, I would like to be able to walk away, hopefully, with some direction. The end of the night.
The last note, item number 3, the final note, is there anything we need to...
Yes, we're going to go there right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, so anything else on this one? Okay, so if you click on number 3, this is Ms. Sutton's body of work, okay? This is the Monday night meeting. These are all the rooms, remember, that we went to, and these are the notes, and then what Ms. Sutton's going to do is kind of just talk to you, summarize what we heard and saw in those meetings. Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of people who helped bring all this together, so I just wanted to point out those folks, all of the facilitators and all the note takers, and then we had about 133 folks sign in, and you're going to hear me say about several times, because everybody was taking notes, and we did our very best to capture all of those notes, and we spent a lot of time counting, but there's always, you know, room for error. And we had, you know, couples and families, and maybe somebody only signed in for their family, and there might be a couple people there. So.
Seemed like there was more like 200 there.
That's what it seemed like, and I would have guessed a little bit more, but 133 people signed in. And so what we found, you'll see this document set up like a table, and we took every comment or question and categorized it, color-coded and literally cut and pasted to bring things together, and then tried to put them under some sort of heading, and these are the 6 headings that we came up with. So we had about 68 comments that dealt with daily operations, questions and or comments, and the top, the most frequent, was about transportation, specifically busing. And then the second of that was latchkey. There were some questions about curriculum. There were some comments or questions about PTO and fundraising. There were some questions about start time, and then there were some questions about class size. So you see kind of that same theme coming through that we saw in the online survey. The other kind of category we came up with were what we called suggestions or roundtable, and we had about 35 comments for that. Those general themes are listed there. 2 elementary building with a K-5 grade bands. Marlboro students get to choose where they go. That was the suggestion. Redistricting. Opportunity to go back on the ballot that came across several times. Would there be another opportunity to go back to the ballot? Couple comments about delaying implementation of consolidation, and then a couple comments about keeping the three elementaries. The next most frequent comments or questions dealt with communication. There were about 29 of those. People are looking for a timeline. They're looking for a plan. How are we going to communicate? And then what is the long-term plan that we have going in? The next most frequent was about 22 comments that dealt with what we called was school-related issues, staffing, safety and security, programming, and that would have been outside of curriculum. So guys with ties or after-school STEAM club, those kinds of things. Repairs to the current buildings, what's going to happen there, and then what's going to happen with open enrollment. And then the last two are finances. We had about 21. What cost savings, people are interested in that. They're interested in tax and funding differently. And we saw this comment come up a couple times, house tax. And we couldn't get any more clarification of that, but that came up in several rooms or on several notes, the term house tax. And then alternate funding, people called it gas and oil or Nexus. And then the final was just consolidation in general. What's the need? Why now? Why PK 2, 3, 5? Why those grade one distributions? And why not two K-5 buildings? Kind of the same general theme that we saw in the online.
Any questions at all? So we did a lot of coloring and a lot of
cutting and pasting,
but it was good. It was good for us to see it too. I mean, it was very helpful. Any questions on any of that, Dan?
Have we looked at K through 5 at both buildings? I mean, honestly.
What's that again?
K through 5. Have we looked at, can we fit if we did? Like a north and a south, like was suggested.
I haven't spent a lot of time on that. I've been spending most of our time on
the other way,
the marching orders that you get. Yeah, that was given. But I mean, you know, obviously that's something we can take a look at.
I was in the room with mostly Marlboro parents, and the theme that resonated most was transportation, latchkey, and K through 5. Mm-hmm. And after about 20, 25 minutes of a lot of complaining and griping, people started to understand that the board has already decided we're going to do this. You know, we're going to consolidate. A few folks mentioned, why can't they go K through 5? That would make things a lot easier. You know, I have two or three kids in the school at that grade level. I don't have to run across Washington, back to Lexington to get my kids. Got latchkey to consider, time on the bus. A lot of parents are working, yet both parents working. So there's a lot of concern for that. And once people, you know, vented and started talking, and this is my interpretation of it, listening to that, it seemed to, some of the parents, there's still those who don't want to see consolidation at all, obviously, but parents that realize we've been talking about this for a long time, getting to this point, understood, but tweaking it, in my mind, if we can tweak this, we already laid the reasons down why we should consolidate. The administration's still working on a consolidated building, one building. But in the meantime, you know, how do we consolidate or move in that direction while we wait for a new building to go up, which I'm hopeful will happen. So going from three buildings to two, K through five, my takeaway from that, and I talked to people that were, I talked to Karen, she was in a different room, heard the same thing. and some of the other folks I talked to afterward, that was the resonating theme I heard. K through five would solve a lot of problems with the transportation, latchkey, the PTO. You know, you got kids split up between two different buildings, which PTO do you become part of? That's fair. I mean, that's a fair concern. So that's my takeaway. I don't know. That flies in the face of what you want to do. I know you were bent on going the direction of K through two or K through. Is it K through three at Lexington? Is that what we're talking about?
It's pre-K two.
K through two, and then three through five at Washington.
Pre-K.
Pre-K. Yeah. Right. So.
Well, that's a really good nexus, because I'm interested to hear from all of you in your different rooms. I know Ms. Gabrick and I were in the same, but you know, we can still share that. But I mean, you just want to keep on going.
Sure.
Is that all right?
I bounced. What'd you hear? Between two rooms.
Okay.
Heard the same thing Mark was hearing. Heard a lot of folks say they hadn't heard any of the information. A lot. They didn't hear our enrollment numbers. They didn't hear what I would say was stuff that was out there and had been out there for a while from us that we had communicated that either they didn't get it or they chose not to get it. But regardless, they didn't know some of the stuff that, you know, they didn't know we're down 1,000 students. They didn't know any of the stuff that had been out there for a while. And I don't know if where that falls at, if that's our fault, their fault. I don't know how to improve that. I don't know how we get more information out. Busing was the biggest topic in the rooms I was in. Parents being split between buildings, having to choose. PTOs were big in the one room. Not much more than that. I mean, it was civil conversation. Nobody was upset. It was nice. There was opposite views. A couple.
Now I had a lot of Marlboro folks.
I would say I had Washington and Lexington in both of the two rooms I was in. So.
Okay. Cool.
Well, same. Heard the same things. I too was really struck. It was actually disheartening to me, the lack of information that really was had been taken in. I think I said at our organizational meeting, I can't make anybody read the paper or, you know, get online and look at the website or come to meetings. You know, we can't make anybody. We can only make things available, and then it's the community's decision to engage or not. And if you don't engage to learn about something, you won't know. And so a lot of the comments that were made were, you know, statements or questions that have been answered, have been, you know, established for a long time, but they didn't know. So I think that's a lot of the disconnect with things. But definitely busing was brought up big time. The split between the buildings, just everything that has been put out here. And I guess I would just say, you know, that first of all, there has to be a connection, you know, and a willingness to get involved and a little more engaged to understand what's going on and the rationale behind it, and not just listen to what someone else's perspective is, or a rumor, and you take it as, you know, we have a lot of that in the world right now, that, you know, accusation or suspicion is thrown out there, and you can't just grab onto that and believe it. You need to go to firsthand information. If you need to know the answer to something, our names, our phone numbers, our emails are on the website. Email us or call us, or, you know, the superintendent. We need to be come to the, you know, first point of information, and then you can make a decision. If you don't agree, you don't agree. That's up to you. But you know, don't just believe everything you hear, because there's a lot of misinformation and or just mistakes that people make, and you know you're believing something wrong. So I would say that, and you know, if what we're hearing is this is the biggest concern to me, you know, two buildings. If we're moving toward that consolidation, which that's our desire, to move to two buildings is still moving in the right direction. The makeup of that is I want to do, you know, what's best for and what addresses the concerns of the community best and what can still work for education, obviously. Again, it's all these factors. You have to weigh them all. You can't just look at one thing. So, you know, and it's, if it's a cost savings, obviously, closing down a building, that's going to be helpful any way you look at it. And so if there's another direction we need to go, like pivot a little bit with 2K through 5s, I would be fine with that.
Yeah, that was in your criteria, Joe, with you.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot. I apologize.
And I heard a lot of the same things. I was surprised I didn't hear more against a consolidation as much as against the K, the split. Yeah. That surprised me more that I didn't hear a lot of people on that end, I think. And I, too, listening to some of the concerns and ones we've thought of, it's not like they're something new. They're genuine. They're genuine ones. I mean, some of them are, I think, somewhat trivial. Whether I can go to both kids' parties or not, that's not important. But getting kids from one to the other. I talked a long time afterwards to parents who have a child with anxiety problems. And so there was a lot of issues about how the comfort level of potentially having to make the bus switch or, you know, those kinds of things. And that's understandable at that. And a longer-term commitment in a school will help that comfort level. I was then informed by my own children when I asked them a question about this. And not all four of them, because only three of them responded to me. But I asked him what would be lost if we went to K-2-3-5. And each one of them, the three of them that responded, all said the same thing, which I hadn't thought of and I hadn't heard anywhere else, was as a kindergartner, they would have lost the chance to interact with the fifth graders in ways like bus monitors and how they got to know some of the older kids and watch the older kids. And then they reversed that to when they became fifth graders, how they interacted. So that's a kind of I don't say it's extracurricular, it's co-curricular.
Like a mentoring piece.
A mentoring piece they learned starting there that wouldn't be as available at the split district. So that was something, it was interesting that they came up with that, and I hadn't heard that, or hadn't even thought about that anywhere else. So.
Yeah, I was in the cafeteria and heard just the same things that Joe and Scott heard. I think, in my opinion, a lot of people came expecting a response and maybe some answers, even though maybe we don't know the direction we're going. But I think if we are going to say that we are going to engage with the community, that's going to be a two-way street where if they ask us a question, I think we should try to answer it. And instead of keep putting it on hold and not responding. And I think that would, you know, just communication in general, I think, would help improve everyone's relationship to know what is the board thinking, what is administration thinking. And there were a lot of questions that probably could have been answered, but I know you had a short period of time scheduled and that maybe would have just made it too long. I think even answering the financial piece, how much will we save on whatever options? You know, you've got a variety of options. How much will truly be saved? How much can we commit to and guarantee will be the savings so that we can tell the community this is what we guarantee we can save? And same educationally, whichever one you choose. How much will we improve educationally and how much can we guarantee to the community so that maybe that would put some fears to rest if they knew what we could actually guarantee by these changes? So I think we should engage more with community and respond instead of saying we're not going to answer your questions.
My three takeaways from that same meeting was, number one, our folks want to know what the plan is, and there's some urgency, and that's coming from the superintendent as well. Number two, our folks are very interested in looking at two K-5 buildings. And number three, they want to know how we're going to communicate that plan.
those are my takeaways from that meeting. How about yourself?
The same.
Same one?
Same.
Okay. Mr. Jones wasn't feeling well and was under the weather, so I couldn't use him that night. I guess what are you guys' thoughts? Where are you heading here?
I think we're heading to the K through 5 of both buildings in my mind. I mean, I know we haven't looked at it. I think that's something we need to get up to speed on pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that requires redistricting. Maybe the Washington Township line moves closer to Lexington, so Lexington can accommodate the Marlboro students. I don't know what that answer is. Can we fit? That's the other question.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, 90-some percent of all those logistical questions are now gone. You know,
right.
Just put a point blank. I mean, a lot of that stuff we don't have to worry about anymore.
What do you mean?
Like shuttling from one building to the other.
Busing and you know, kids, I mean, the big hitters, kids in two different buildings. I mean, those were the main things that we kept hearing, you know, and transportation. You know, those three big things basically go away. So, I mean, logistically speaking, it's a big help.
I'm with Tom on that, and I think that's what I heard from the rest, the others. Is this, let me ask you this. What is the timeline? Let's say we're moving forward with this. What is your idea of the rollout, if you will? Is there, you got like February or March where you say, hey, this is how it's going to look we tell you which direction to go?
Yeah, I would like to respond next board meeting, to be honest with you, and let our community know what we're doing. I mean, obviously, all these questions go away now because, you know, we're...
So you're going to have some formalized plan, board meeting, you have folks in attendance, you're going to lay it out that you need to tell us. We need to tell you that we recommend going this direction.
I definitely need that.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely need that.
Well, it's a tough pill to swallow. Change is tough to start with, but I think the board's laid the case for consolidation. So we're not going back on that. But the K through 5 makes sense. And I think what I heard folks, once they got over the idea, hey, this, you know, the board has spoken and we're going to do this, if they could just do K through 5, we could make it work. These are parents talking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So okay. That's, would you agree? Would there be a consensus to tell them that's what we should do?
Yeah, I would agree.
Definitely what I heard.
And we heard from a few other sources. We had an email from a teacher.
Right.
At the parent-teacher conferences. Mrs. Yes. Kunzman emailed us about that and what she had heard, and that's one of the main things she impressed on that. Mm-hmm. She heard from the teachers, or from the parents.
Parents.
No, it would be Washington parents she heard from that were concerned with that.
Yeah, I got a number of email. Well, I think I copied a lot of you on it.
Most of those.
We got deluged, and that's probably the communication key that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Email was 44% preferred communication, and son of a gun, after that meeting Monday, we got
some emails.
We got deluged with them. So what do you think? Is that, I know it's contrary to what we talked about last April when we started going that direction.
Right. No, I'm good. We just need some marching orders. You know, we just want to get things rolling here. So we want to look at, you know, getting teachers where we need to get them, getting kids where we need to get them, and go from there. So,
okay.
That's
it
where
feels
we're
doable to you within the month to have a plan, a formulated plan.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Okay.
We just have to get going.
Okay. You'll be able to figure some cost savings out as well.
Yeah. Now, remember, back at that Marble meeting, the treasurer already discussed that. Now, I do need to say this. That was based on that scenario.
At it again.
Now we're going to have to go back and revisit that. You know, when you have all second graders or third graders in one building, there's things you can do with staffing that you can't when you have two now. So we're going to have to revisit that. Okay, that will be one thing we're going to have to do.
So you'll have that for next.
And is there any way to predict the savings of having closing the building?
With complete certainty?
Well, within a reasonable, I mean, I think you could get cost of utilities or whatever.
Those sort of things I'll bring to the table.
That and staffing.
Those utility costs and other supplies that were used just specifically in the building, those can be teased out.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I needed.
Now, to Carolyn's point, some of the answers here, like you said, some of the answers get eliminated going that direction. Now, there's some other things here. I don't want to overburden, but maybe we get over that hurdle in February. Mm-hmm. If I don't know if there's anything left to address at that point, but to Carolyn's point, I agree to some extent sharing with the public, hey, this, because I had a few comments said this is a waste of time. The board's not going to pay attention to this. Mm-hmm. They're going to ignore it. But I think if there's, I hate to keep throwing things at you guys, but if there's any way to maybe address some of the key,
I think that'd be part of the presentation next month, is to address some. The financial piece is a big one.
Communication.
That's obviously out there. Yeah. And I'm going to get this stuff out to our community, kind of like what we did with the strategic plan survey. We put the link on our website.
Right.
Where folks can go and look at the results.
I think Karen's point on communication, one of the things that we're suffering here is the lack of newspaper coverage. So I think we need to look at that seriously. We can't count on the paper being here. They're at best, they're here every month.
What if we ran a publication,
News and Views.
The News and Views, to cover this?
On this one specifically?
Yeah.
We could do that. No, that goes out to everybody.
Yeah. Well, affects everybody, but ultimately. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What about, you do Tuesdays with Mr. Knoll?
I do.
Put a link there where they can click.
Yeah, or...
To, all the stuff here? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, or at least direct them to the website where the link's at. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we got some good venues already in place. We can take advantage of.
Right.
So I just hate to send papers home with kids. We don't even do it middle school, high school, because they don't go home.
Right. Now, or they don't come out of the backpack.
Yeah, well, yeah, the elementary kids,
we don't see them. Yeah, we never see them.
The elementary kiddos are pretty good, parents looking backpacks and that kind of thing. So I'm not really a big fan of doing that. We could always mail. We try not to mail things either, because that's an extra cost too. But
right.
We got all those venues, really, to take advantage of, whatever. Decide you want to do.
I think in this case, I don't think we can over-communicate enough, okay. Right. And I think that's something that we need to do.
Well, if you want a News and Views, we're going to have to really get going on that, because that takes time put together, produce, get copied, get mailed.
Sure.
We might have two board meetings.
Before it happens.
Yeah, but we can give it a try. That's what y'all want.
Well, as it's streamlined. That could be, even...
And it won't be 12 pages.
Right.
It'll be a four,
right,
whatever number we got to do. I can't remember if it's a four or an eight pager, I think. We can just try to hit the topics.
Now, what about the survey? Is this something we can make available online?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. We just put a link to it. We'll put it on our webpage, and folks can go to it and take a look.
Got it.
Do we know that our current student population will fit in two buildings? Or are we going to have to give up open enrollment?
No. We're going to two different grade levels or however we work this. We'll be able to get them in.
Okay.
Yeah. Including our current open enrollment kiddos we have now. Yeah.
And then are you going to continue open enrollment, or you would have
Absolutely.
To stop it with new ones coming in?
No. We will continue open enrollment. Every year on average, I went back and looked with Lee, we get about 10 or 12 new open enrollment elementary kids in grades 1 through 5 every year.
Total.
Now, what grade level didn't I give you?
Okay.
Thank you, because that's our lifesaver. We're bringing in 30, 35 kindergartners. Without them, we don't have a kindergarten. Right. So we really rely on open enrollment for kindergarten. But as far as 1 through 5 goes, very few. And so we'll be fine. Yeah, we'll be fine with them. And we get more, obviously, middle school and high school, too. But that won't affect these numbers, so. And I want to speak to that to our open enrollment folks too. I know there was a lot of angst about that. I mean, to be honest with you, our number one priority is our district kids.
Yeah.
And that's just what I believe. I think that's what we need to do. But obviously, open enrollment keeps us afloat too. So we want to always be mindful of that.
On that topic, we have that listed as a topic for the regular meeting.
Yeah.
How do you want to present that? Do you want to just say your spiel and then
we could review the data again, or you guys could just say, hey, we met and talked earlier and this is the direction we're going.
Pretty much the same thing we did.
I mean, whatever you all would like to do.
We're going to have a lot more people there, I'm presuming, so.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you just tell us what you want. We can summarize even quicker with our data, or you can just start
there.
So. Okay, well, I appreciate that. I know
right.
It's been a lot of work, so thank you.
Okay. Bus purchase, next item.
Yeah, if you go in the treasurer folder and Dropbox, I put a couple items in there.
Bus inventory or bus bid?
We'll do both. Let's look at we'll do the bus bid one first.
I shut it off and restarted, and then it was fine.
And so just to kind of go back over what this board has done in the past is you guys pass a resolution once a year to enter yourself into the bid process with the Stark County COG. And that doesn't mean you're going to buy any buses through those bids, but you're saying that you want to be a part of those bids, essentially. And so then this comes from Ms. Sickles from Transportation Department. She went through the bids. What she is requesting is two passenger buses and one handicap bus. What you see there are base prices plus options that the transportation department typically equips on the buses. And then this deal that says stock here, stock buses I've learned are a little bit different. And so they come equipped with a lot of options already. And then there are some additional things that you know they wanted to put on a stock bus. So the other big difference between stock versus order is you get them quicker because they're in stock, I guess. So those are the numbers. They're all very close. Her recommendation to me was be stock from Truck Sales and Service because those are the lowest costs to get the options that they want.
Is that the same type of bus in the fleet currently?
Yes, international, and that's the other part. We do have a few Bluebirds, a few Thomases, maybe one or two, but they primarily prefer international, I guess, the mechanics to work on. Yeah. And so that's what the majority of the fleet is, and that is what Truck Sales and Service deals with. So that would be that. Cardinal Buses with Bluebird, and then Myers Equipment is with Thomas.
Right. So we would be disposing of three buses once these came in?
So let's go to the bus inventory, open that one up, get some of those questions answered.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, sorry, that one's very small.
Yeah.
It's all the data. I couldn't do it any better, really. If I would have split it up, it would have made no sense on two sheets. If we go to the second page, where it says Marlington Fleet Data, not all the Excel cells there, this kind of gives an overview, and Mrs. Pierce put this together a year ago, and I've updated it, tweaked it a little bit, but essentially it's a lot of the same information. So it gives you how many buses we have currently, 36. There's 27 assigned to 27 drivers. We have four spare buses. We have five out of service to be scrapped. Those are either they are no longer repairing them because it's becoming cost prohibitive. One of them, I think, finding parts has become more difficult, is what Mrs. Sickles told me. So those are you know, to be scrapped, meaning they'll be on their way out. Three of the buses are handicap equipped. And then that line below says buy two new, one handicap. Joe and I sat down and went through the Mrs. Sickles recommendations. And our recommendation is buying two new, one of which would be handicap. And if you go back to that first page and all of that data, the reason would be one of our handicaps is... One of our handicap buses is already
216,000 miles.
296.
Yeah, one of our handicap buses is already out of, is one of those that's out of service to be scrapped. So that leaves us with two that we're currently utilizing. And those two buses have the highest mileage of any in our fleet. So that's the original reason she came, you know, with that recommendation and request, is because of the high mileage on all three of them. But the two that we're utilizing have the highest mileage of any of our buses in the fleet. And then if we go back to that other page, you get to the bottom, there's other data about, you know, the age of the assigned buses. We have 15 that are 5 years or less, which is good. It's 56% of the fleet. There's half a dozen that are 6 to 10 years old, and a half a dozen that are 12 or 13 years old. So it's kind of a 50-50 split between new and old. Now, new and old, that 5 years may not mean old to everyone. It doesn't necessarily mean that to me either. But when ODE puts out pronouncements, and I've gone to some trainings, for some reason, they consider after 5 years old because of the increased costs that you're going to could potentially incur in maintenance and repairs. So that's, I think, why Leslie chose those kind of breakdowns when she put this together. You have mileage range. The average mileage of our assigned buses is 83,617. And then the models of the assigned are right below there. So again, what's out is mostly, you know, being on the road is international. Same thing with age of spares. And then the history at the bottom is just the bus purchasing history since 2004.
We no longer have any lease buses, correct?
Correct. Those are, all those leases have been satisfied and paid. Yeah, those are paid off. Correct. So again, there is no resolution to purchase these tonight, just for a discussion piece. And then we come back with something in February, you know, based on your input.
Why not two handicap and just accommodate those out of the three?
I did not ask that question, Ms. Sickles. I think, I mean, I understand why she certainly wanted one handicap, but I mean, I could take that back to her for sure.
I mean, those are our two oldest buses. So why would we not?
Yeah, they're the highest mileage buses. They are not not the oldest. Well, I mean, it depends on what you're looking. The ones the ones in service are not the two oldest, but they are the two highest mileage overall. But yeah, I mean, I could go back. Any other input or discussion?
I'm only seeing one that's handicapped.
HC right
here. Anything that has HC in the local bus number is handicap.
Oh,
and one of them is down below in the out of service. So essentially the reason she asked for one was, you know, they're looking to scrap that bus, and so they do not have a spare handicap bus currently.
So we run the two that are operational.
We're running the two that are, yes, correct.
Which is even more of a reason to phase them out. And one of them's a Bluebird on top of that.
Yes, which they come down there trending toward the international, for sure. Okay. Yeah. I'll take that best, Ms. Sickles, and see what she says. That might be something she'd be agreeable to. And I will come with something, you know, next week, unless you want to discuss further. No?
Is there anything else on the agenda specifically for tonight? Do you have any questions on? To review, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything in there? Don't have a ton tonight.
Get home at a decent time?
Only have my evaluation to do.
Oh, that's going to take forever.
So you can get a head start on it now if you want, or you can...
Yeah.
We could probably knock a good portion.
Yeah.
Are you? Did I understand, Ryan? You're going to take notes, so it's just going to be us in executive session, right? For your evaluation,
whatever you want.
Oh, okay. I just saw him down as taking notes. Is that true?
No, that was you, Mr. Ryan.
Oh, you had me down.
Nice try.
Oh, that was me. Oh, Ryan. Okay.
Wow.
That was a really nice
try. He tried to pawn that off.
Well, I'm not a good note taker. I might get something wrong.
That's all right.
You're not a good note taker, not a good listener.
Pawn off to Mr.
I'm just kidding.
He'll right.
Okay. Well, if there's no other items for the special meeting, we'll move for executive session. Need a motion to enter an executive session in accordance with ORC 121-22 to discuss the appointment, employment. employment dismissal and compensation of a public employee.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Alan Gabler.
Yes.
Tom Sibley.
Yes.
Aaron Humphries.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be right. We'll back in there.
I've got 6:21.
Yep.
Special meeting?
Second.
First and the second? Did you get that?
Carolyn's not at the table.
Yep. Any discussion?
Carolyn's not at the board.
Carolyn? Call roll.
Carolyn Gabler.
Yes.
Tom Sibley.
Yes.
Aaron Humphries.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes.
This is from Marble.